Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the greatest recession since 1940 and the breakdown of the American economy and the breakdown of Western civilization, families falling apart, the faith is dissipating in the West. Yeah, a lot of things happening, and we're on the front row of this thing and believe that this is the opportunity for God's Word to be applied in just about every area of life, and that's what we do on this radio broadcast each day. We're glad you're tuning in to us. Dave Buhner also in studio with me, another father of five. And Dave, since Barack Obama took over as President of the United States, the most socialist president, certainly the most committed Marxist to ever run for President of the United States, we've seen some incredible things happen to the American economy. We thought that George W. Bush was a socialist. Certainly he provided way more socialist funding for the American government, far more increases in domestic spending for the American federal government than any other president since LBJ back in the 1960s. So, you know, far more liberal than Carter, far more liberal than Clinton. We didn't think you could get any more liberal than George W. Bush, but Barack Obama is pretty much taking the cake. And, you know, again, the folks, we elect these Republicans and Democrats because we want socialists. This is the goal. That's what we want. So we elect the guys to provide us security and in the process, of course, destroy our economies and our prosperity, which is what happens when government provides security. That's what happens when you worship the state as God. State turns out to be a really bad God. Turns out you should have feared and loved and served the living and true God, and you probably would have been doing better in the long run. But that's apparently not what Americans are doing, because they're denying the faith, turning away from the faith, and breaking down morality, the family, and bringing up huge, huge socialist governments as well. Now, a couple of things that just came across my desk that I thought is important to share is, one is, we've seen changes in employment since the Great Recession. Started in 2007. Again, folks, since 2007, we've seen changes in employment. And as it turns out, private employment is tanking. And Dave, I think you just saw this morning another, 20,000 jobs lost. And so we're seeing that the unemployment situation is, you know, we saw a 0.3% correction or so in the last 2 months. But again, I think we're going into deeper unemployment, folks, in the next couple of months. And so again, private sector unemployment going through the ceiling. We're seeing unemployment rise for the private sector. But here's the good news. And I have this neat little chart to show what happened with unemployment since 2007, when the Great Recession began. And you can see the red line in this chart is government employment. If you happen to be watching the homeschoolchannel.tv or our video feed at kevinswanson.com, you're going to see that we see a rise in federal employment. Not a lot. It's like 0.5% rise. Meantime, you see a humongous decrease in the employment in the private sector. So, folks, that's pretty much what's happening. The good news is government is employing. Not that much, but there is a slight increase, thanks to the $800 billion jobs bill and the $500 billion jobs bill and the $300 billion unemployment bill. I can't keep track of all the money they're spending in terms of driving our future economy into the dirt.
They're not trying to keep track of it.
Yeah, I don't think they are either. But the good news is government is employing people, and we're not really sure exactly what government does with all this employment. I'm guessing they probably regulate the people who are left who are still trying to do something in terms of producing something.
Well, they're hiring IRS agents to enforce the new health care mandates.
Yes.
The IRS has to come in and make sure that you're getting good government.
And they're cracking down on unpaid internships. This is the latest from the New York Times. The New York Times reports that the feds are now going after companies that illegally offer unpaid internships. Labor Department says cracking down on firms that are failing to pay interns properly. If you're a for-profit employer or you want to pursue an internship with a for-profit employer, there aren't going to be many circumstances where you can have an internship and not being paid and still be in compliance with the law. That, according to the New York Times, and John Stossel from Fox News has a pretty good blog on that. And again, Barack Obama doing what he can to utterly destroy the American economy, and of course, destroy the possibility that young college students could have any kind of a mentorship and merge into the American free market economy. That's the idea here, folks. Barack Obama is trying to ruin mentorships and internships in America, and of course, we have been fighting hard for this thing over the last number of years on this radio program. I think we just aired a number of programs on the issue of mentorship, because we want people to understand that if you want to salvage the future of your future sons, certainly your sons, somewhat your daughters, but more so your sons, you've got to go with mentorship. It's essential, folks. And the government cracking down, though, on internships, at least those that are not paid, the six federal legal criteria that must be satisfied for internships to be unpaid,
include, here it is, that the internship should be similar to the training given in a vocational school or academic institution, that the intern does not displace regular paid workers, and that the employer, quote, derives no immediate advantage from the intern's activities. In other words, it's largely a benevolent contribution to the intern. And folks, that pretty much checkmates any kind of an internship as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they're saying you can do an internship, except in this case, you can still do some internships.
I can see this tested in court. So do your interns get you coffee? Benefit.
Violation.
Immediate benefit,
yeah,
right there.
Violation of the federal internship law. Well, ladies and gentlemen, fortunately, it does not include nonprofit organizations. So I think we're still okay on this one. And Barack Obama is still okay when he runs his campaigns because they're not for profit.
Well, and the federal government's okay because it hasn't turned a profit ever.
Ever. Yeah, ever. So federal government campaigns for president of the United States may be exempted by these requirements. But if you want to get out there into the free marketplace and you want to make some kind of a positive contribution, and of course, it's very difficult right now to go out and get your 4-year degree, spend your $80,000 attending classes taught by Barack Obama, get out and be functional in the American free market economy. Hard to do these days. Really hard to do these days. Look for a 25% unemployment and your starting pay is almost nothing. But if you start an internship early on when you're 17, 18 years old and you merge your way into the American free marketplace and, of course, make your contacts, do your networking early on while you're not making a tremendous amount of money. Maybe you're just contributing to your employer for the time being while he's contributing to you at building your character and developing your potential and beginning to provide experience for you so that when you're out in the free marketplace, you're worth something more than $3.35 an hour. I tell you what, that's one of the best ways to launch a career into the free enterprise system out there. But, of course, Barack Obama doing what he can. Barack Obama doing what he can, the federal government doing what they can to shut down internships in America and destroy the future of many young men and young women, of course, the future of the American economy.
Kevin, this is incredibly insidious and short-sighted. First off, we're actually saying we would rather you pay $20,000 a year to get educated and be no good to anyone
at the end.
Rather than you get paid a little or get paid nothing for a better education.
Yeah.
Now, on one hand, it costs you $20,000 per year. On the other hand, well, it costs you, well, I guess, gas mileage. But one trains you for, I guess, to receive a diploma, and the other trains you for a job.
Yeah.
It seems to me that This is pretty insidious.
Well, the whole point is to drive the young person into debt, as much debt as possible, pretty much ruin his future so that he will never, ever, ever be debt-free the rest of his life, and, of course, make sure that he is completely useless in the American economy when he gets that degree because he hasn't had a life application experience bringing all of those aspects of what he has learned into life-integrated experience. They don't want that. They don't want him to be useful. They don't want him to be experienced. Maybe they want him to be hired by some government system so that he can regulate somebody else and be effectively useless in the American free marketplace. And because the goal here, I really believe the goal here, and I believe Barack Obama's goal here is to destroy America, to destroy the economy. All those who hate me, that is, hate Christ, hate wisdom, hate God's law and God's system of righteousness and the Word, love death. The Bible says all those who hate Christ, hate His Word, hate His wisdom, love death. And that's what happens when you bring leaders in who absolutely repudiate any kind of a standard given by the laws of God and repudiate the ideas of righteousness found in the Word of God. And in the end, they will destroy the nation. And I think that's what's happening right now, Dave.
It is happening. And the other side of this is when I worked in the corporation, we would often bring in interns. And that is how we were able to evaluate their character to see we're going to hire them permanently when they were available. This is how you can make a decision. It's a no-risk decision. Now, these people are, I guess, going to have to go through human resources and get shuffled off into the circular wastebasket. I just think that this is a hideous idea.
Oh, it's awful.
You know, if a guy doesn't want to work for free, he doesn't have to work for free. And if a company doesn't want to hire a guy who's willing to work for free and show his stuff and learn some stuff, they don't have to. I thought we were all about choice. Isn't this pro-choice? Isn't this a pro-choice government?
Yeah, right. Well, George W. Bush did what he could to destroy the American economy, but now, of course, you've got Barack Obama, and I think Barack Obama is probably about 5 to 10 times worse than what we saw under George W. Bush, who was probably not quite as bad as Lyndon B. Johnson or Federal or FDR back in the 1940s. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is what John Stossel said. He says, man, I've always hired interns. He says, I get a lot of my best help from unpaid college students, but many later moved on to paying jobs at the networks. Many became network TV producers. At first, I felt guilty asking students to work for no pay, but I stopped feeling bad about it after most told me they'd learn more in our newsroom than they'd learn on their campuses. Their schools charged them money while I taught them for free. Exactly what you were just saying, Dave. This is John Stossel from Fox News. Ladies and gentlemen, just a little bit of common sense coming from a basement out on the eastern plains of Colorado. Kevin Swanson Studio. So is Dave. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to talk about tax day in just a moment. Stay with me.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Our president doing what he can to destroy the nation, but that's because we voted for him and we want the nation effectively destroyed. We're not big on economies anymore, but we sure like security, even though we know, and everybody knows, I think, that government never delivers on the security that it promises you. Well, as it turns out, this is amazing. My father just sent me these statistics, but it turns out that government is now spending $32,000 per household. They're spending $32,000 per household in this country under the Obama regime. Under Bush, it was $25,000, and Clinton, $21,000. So, again, taking the budget and saying, okay, let's divide by the number of households in this country, we're now at $32,000 per household being spent by the federal government. Government up from $21,000 under President Clinton just a few years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a humongous government, and government taking 60% of our income, 60% of our income going to government at some level thanks to taxation and debt. Now, see, I guess I would be okay with 60% of our lives going to government if you tithed the other 60%. Okay, Dave, so that's the deal. If people are voting for 60% of their income going to government thanks to all the socialist spending that they have been approving by electing Republicans and Democrats over the last 100 years, now 60% of your income is being taxed, being spent by government on some level, local, state, or federal. If you're okay with 60% of your money going to government, then you need to be giving at least 60% in tithes to Jesus. That is, if you have accepted God, the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, to still be God and the state is not God, then you're going to have to tithe at least 60%. Okay, and the other 60% can go to government.
If 60% is going to the government and 60% is going to God, what do you do with the other 20%?
I don't know. I'll have to figure that out. I'll have to figure that out. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're getting the picture here. You know, Ray Stevens came out with a song the other day called If 10% is good enough for Jesus, it ought to be good enough for Uncle Sam. And we picked up a little piece of this off of Fox News, and I thought I'd throw it on here on this segment of Generations. Here's Ray Stevens. If 10% is good enough for Jesus, it ought to be good enough for Uncle Sam. Dave, I think he makes a good point. First Samuel chapter 8 establishes the limit. Now, this assumes, of course, that the Word of God is the standard of ethics. That is, you go to God's Word, and you assume that whatever God took the time to write out and to communicate to us through some prophets. Okay, again, we're talking to Christians here. And I understood that a lot of people don't accept the Bible as important or informative or directive at all. But we do. We do. It's called a biblical worldview. We don't believe that the government can spend whatever it wants and tyrannize the people to the umpteenth degree and still be just in doing that. There are limits to how a government can tyrannize its people and still be ethical. Okay, that's where we're at. Now, if you're a communist, if you're a Marxist, if you're the average American who votes for Barack Obama, then you don't agree with this worldview. Barack Obama can do whatever he wants. He can spend $800 billion on this, another $1.5 trillion on this, another $6 trillion on this, and $68 trillion on that. That's where you're at. He can put us all in prison, and he can take out our intestines, and he can eat it for lunch. As far as the definition of most people is concerned, in terms of what the government can do in this area of ethics. But we think there are limits to what government can do to you. And one of the limits we find is 1 Samuel chapter 8. God says in no uncertain terms, by the way, monarchy is a really bad idea, as is uncontrolled democracies, but monarchies can get out of control. And when monarchies get really, really out of control, the state will tax you to a tenth of your income. And God calls that a tyranny in 1 Samuel chapter 8. So, Dave, I think we've got a pretty solid limit there. And again, God requires 10% of our money in tithe, and I don't think the government should ever exceed that.
Well, as Ben Bernanke is saying even this morning, Americans are going to have to face a choice here. We're either going to have to tax a lot more because of our spending, or we're going to have to spend a lot less. So if we're going to limit ourselves at 10%, the function of the government is going to have to be limited to things like getting criminals and defending borders. I mean, who's going to pay for Medicaid and Medicare and all the other things the government does?
Well, and of course, the idea here, and the idea since Karl Marx, has been that the rich are the ones that are supposed to take care of the poor.
What rich?
By a redistribution of the wealth. Well, until you eliminate all the rich, which they have successfully done in places like North Korea and Cuba and China. You know, they've been able to eliminate the rich as best as they possibly can. But it's you know, this whole Marxist concept of graduated taxation, and it was Karl Marx in the Communist Manifesto. The second plank of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto was a heavily graduated income tax. And that's what we're seeing now in this country. Here's an article from, I believe it's AP News, where nearly half of U.S. households don't pay a dime in income tax. And the income tax, of course, is the most significant source of revenue for the government. It raises $900 billion per year. The rest of it pretty much is in debt, and so it's just passed on to our grandchildren. But most of the government income comes by means of income tax, and only about half of American households pay even a dime in income tax. That means that we are soaking the rich big time for the sustenance of the nation and for the redistribution of the wealth, of course, into the pockets of a lot of people.
So if you're one of those who are coming up upon tax day and you're actually having to pay some money, for those of us who actually came underneath that threshold, we would like to thank you. We'd like to thank you for our health care. Yeah. We'd like to thank you for our retirement.
Thanks,
we'd like
guys.
To thank you for defense. We'd like to thank you for national parks.
Thanks guys.
BLM, thanks so much.
We couldn't do all of this. So just a special program here dedicated to the 50% of Americans who are paying all the taxes, or at least the income taxes. Now, granted, the rest of us are paying taxes through all the excise taxes and all the sales taxes and the property taxes and the inheritance taxes and the tax. So it's not like the rest of us aren't getting our fair share of tyranny. But nevertheless, it turns out that we have 10% of the earners in America paying 73% of the income taxes. 10%. of the earners paying 73% of the income tax. That's called graduated taxation. That's called Marxism. That's called Barack Obama is very happy today because he loves the redistribution of the wealth and the graduated tax system. The vast majority of people, of course, who escape federal income taxes are paying taxes as well. But suffice it to say that we've got a tremendous number of people being taxed. And typically, Dave, these are the upwardly mobile people. There are a select group of the richy riches that are beneficiaries of government bailouts and government subsidies and agricultural subsidies. And we have 60% of the economy controlled by government. And that 60% controlled by government ultimately is going to be redistributed into the hands of some very rich people as well, some bankers and all the rest. And since we have a debt society, and since we have banking systems of very, very wealthy bankers that take full advantage of this indebted fractional reserve system, they become extremely wealthy, outrageously wealthy. And when they run their banks into the ground, the government steps in and salvages them with an $800 billion TARP fund. So again, folks, we have a system that is based upon stealing. The rich are stealing from the poor. The poor are stealing from the rich. The middle income groups, I think the upwardly mobile groups, are the ones getting shafted. And that's typically what happens in these kinds of systems. The end result, of course, is the destruction of the economy and a centralization of the wealth among a few very, very wealthy people that take advantage of the fact that their leaders, their legislators that are receiving campaign donations from them are turning around a great deal of money through agricultural subsidies and other things. So the fact of the matter is we are enriching corporations, we're enriching banks in this country, we're enriching certain segments of society because of the system that we have set up around us, and it is filled with graft. It is about 99.9% graft. When you are redistributing about 90% of the wealth of the nation through the government, who is controlling about 60% of the gross national income, folks, and you've got a system where, of course, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, you are going to see an absolute corruption of the nation, which is happening right now through two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, and they're doing a fine job of it.
Kevin, Margaret Thatcher once said something very, very intelligent. It was that the problem with socialism is you eventually run out of other people's money. So if you are in that 10% of people who are paying the 73% of the taxes, I want to say to you today, do not be discouraged. Double your labors. Work hard. Don't let the tax laws discourage you and think, well, if I earn another $100, I only get to keep $27. Do it. Do it double hard because the nation's depending on you. If we're going to lose the animating contest of freedom and we're going to enjoy the tranquility of servitude, well, our servitude will be a lot more tranquil as long as you're funding the whole thing. So go out there and
keep
do it today.
Keep it up, buddy. Keep it up, buddy. Keep working. Keep working. And as you work, Barack Obama will continue to screw it down on you. He's going to continue to tax you and tax you and tax you, redistribute your wealth. And eventually you might be discouraged. But if you get discouraged, just keep it up. Just keep it up until he ruins the entire economy. But we just want to encourage you here. That's why we're here.
Yeah,
folks.
We're counting on you. We're counting on you.
We sure are. Well, what does the Word of God say about these things? The rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less. That is the Word of God. That, my friends, is the God who speaks out of the thunder. That's the God who knows something about ethics. Because he's God. He's the source of ethics. That's what it takes to be God. You kind of have to be the source of epistemology, metaphysics, and ethics, truth, reality, and ethics if you're going to be a God. That's kind of what it takes to be God. So when you look into God's Word and you find out that God has some things to say about taxation and he does not want the rich paying more or the poor paying less, look it up, Exodus 23. This is God's concept concerning taxation. And he's smart, and he knows something about governments and economies. Well, this kind of all boiled down to a poll tax under Israel. And the poll tax, I think, is great because people come to vote. People come to participate in a poll of some sort, a count of some sort, or an election of some sort, and they bring $20 with them, and everybody pays an equal amount of taxation. It, of course, minimizes the intrusion on a family's private finances. Of course, really poor people may not be able to participate. Maybe they can relieve their tax burden by working on a Saturday and contributing to the neighborhood situation of some sort. But Dave, in the end, of course, the income tax is one of the very, very worst forms of tax. taxation because now the government knows everything about our own financial situations, and they can envy, and they can create others who will envy that that income, and then the end result, of course, is a continued taxation upon the rich and those that happen to be successful in the society. So income tax, folks, is a major intrusion into the private affairs, the private papers of the average person. And this, of course, is what the government has imposed upon us since 1913. Property tax is the worst form of taxation. A free man, of course, is indebted to the Lord of the Manor now that we rent our property from the government. And so this is by far the most onerous form of taxation. We've been renting from the government for about 100 years. We have not been free in this country for at least 100 years. In a biblical system, the government only prosecutes you concerning property when you do things on your property like burning tires or creating toxic waste that rolls over onto your neighbor's property. And you begin to destroy his property. If that ever happens, then you may wind up in a court of law because you are damaging the property of others. But in the meantime, you have the right to do on your property what you want to do on your property inside, of course, the bounds of God's laws. So this is called freedom. I realize this is new to some of you, but you spell it F-R-E-E-D-O-M, freedom. It's a really neat word. We haven't really enjoyed it for about 120 years in this country, but it is a great, great concept, and I hope that sometime, Dave, we will be able to call back these principles of freedom, at least in the next 2 to 3, 4 generations, if we plant these ideas in the minds of our children. And so my encouragement as you fill out your tax forms this year is to grab the Word of God, teach a vision for freedom to your children. Grab my book, The Second Mayflower, as well, where I bring out these basic principles. And I hope that as we plant these ideas, we will see over the generations, hundreds of thousands of people trained in these basic principles of freedom upon which our nation was founded some 200 years ago. And we will see these things return in the years to come. Folks, it's been done before. I think it can be done again. That's the point of my book, The Second Mayflower. We had freedom. We had a blip of freedom in the long, long haul of tyranny that has overshadowed the history of humankind. There have been opportunities where freedom has been achieved, but it has been achieved because some of people got a vision, and then they retained the faith and the courage to fight for it. And that's what I hope will happen in the years to come. Train your children in the basic biblical principles concerning freedom, and do so today. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can purchase my book, The Second Mayflower, at that website, kevinswanson.com. And folks, I'd like to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.